You're listening to the Weed Smart podcast, where each fortnight we chat about dealing with those pesky weeds. Welcome back to the Weed Smart podcast. I'm the Weed Smart communications lead, Jessica Strauss, and this is our first podcast back for 2021. And today we're going to be looking at the benefits of soil amelioration. We're going to be chatting with Dr. Stephen Davies. He's from the Western Australian Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development, and he's a research scientist there, and he's going to join us to explain what's involved with soil amelioration. And we'll also be hearing from a grower from the Mallee in South Australia who has used soil amelioration in his farming system. My co-host, Weed Smart Western Extension agronomist Peter Newman, does join me. How are you going, Pete?
Very well, Jess. And how are you?
I'm all right. We are in a bit of a tricky place at the moment in Perth. Obviously, the East Coast has had it a lot worse than us, but we're in lockdown this week, and I'm quite close to the fires that people might have heard about on the news in the Perth Hills. So it's an okay week. I'm glad to be having a break talking on the podcast with you, because there's obviously, yeah, lots of people who are affected who I know in that area. So I'm good, but concerned for other people around me. But I'm glad to be back for the first podcast for 2021. How are you, Pete? You're up in Geraldton. You've got different weather conditions on the horizon with a cyclone potentially forming. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better than you, Jess, I reckon. I'm living in a bubble here. We haven't had much lockdown in the whole COVID experience. Been super lucky. No fires for us. Yeah, they're terrible, the Perth fires. That's really awful. Yeah, we're doing really well here, Jess. I have nothing to complain about at all. And some rain coming, hopefully, by the look of it. Got a cyclone coming down the coast. I can just about smell those deep rippers ripping now. We'll be smelling the petrichor very soon, Jess.
That's exciting.
Rain on the summer soil. Yeah, we've had a little drop of rain and expecting a bigger one. So
very cool.
Could get a bit of soil moisture soon and rippers. There's been some overnight through the eastern wheat belt. Some of our lower rainfall zones have had 50 or 60 mils, Jess. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. But yeah, not good for the COVID lockdown or the fires.
Yeah, and in terms of this weather that's affecting your region, we are going to be chatting with Nick McKenna, who is a plant farm agronomist, and he hopefully will have a bit more detail. We'll chat with him for the regional update for next Monday, so keep an eye out for that one. But today we are focusing on soil amelioration, and this is a tool that you're an advocate of, Pete, and you've done quite a bit of work in this space. Can you tell us your thoughts on this practice?
Yeah, I'm a big advocate, Jess, for a lot of reasons. I got involved really early back in the day. Sally Peltzer and Alex Douglas from the Department of Ag bought a little three-furrow plough in 05 and 06, I think. They did some trials with it and really weren't getting the traction in their part of the world. And I brought the plough up here. We put it into some sand. Steve Davies and I, who you interviewed, went and did some of the first trials on yellow sand up here in 07.
Yes.
And Steve is still monitoring those trial sites, which is unreal because he's still getting great results. So, yeah, this amazing practice of burying 99% of the weed seeds, sometimes doubling the yield for that first year. We don't always double it, but we normally get big yield responses. Fixed non-wetting, fixed subsoil acidity, you name it, Jess. It's just a brilliant thing. When farmers start ameliorating soil, they just see huge benefits for a long, long time.
Yeah, and what's the uptake of this practice been like, Pete, in your area and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, it's mind-blowing, Jess, there are huge benefits, and some farmers, obviously, you have those pioneers get on really early that get on and do thousands of hectares in a short space of time. Other farmers are sort of starting to get on board now and then the full range in between. So, yeah, it's been, 14 years in since it sort of started in this part of the world up here. The uptake is still increasing. It's still got a long way to go. We've got millions of hectares that can be treated in WA alone, Jess, so yeah, I think the extension effort needs to continue because there's big benefits out there to be had for farmers that are having a go, yeah.
And so in terms of some of the economic benefits, can you talk to that a bit? Because that obviously is something that often will encourage people to take a method a bit more seriously. What kind of benefits can people see from a financial perspective with this technique?
Yeah, Jess, I did some pretty detailed financial analysis of it a few years ago, and I called a lot of growers and got all of their costs and all their yield benefits, looked up all of Steve Davies' data and got all of his yield benefits and put it all into a, you know, big spreadsheet and analysed it to death. And we're talking about liming and then spading and mouldboarding and plaza ploughing it in. So the combination of those two, you know, 4 tonnes of lime, depending where you are, will cost anywhere from $80 to $100 a hectare of lime sand. The mouldboard or the plaza or the, you know, the spader, they are all, well, the plaza is a bit cheaper, but the mouldboard and the spader are about $70 a hectare to do for owner operate. And then essentially, if we just look at, say, mouldboard plus lime, I measured a 600% increase in profit over a 10-year period. Yeah, so big dollars to be made. Another analysis done by Cameron Weeks from Plant Farm here, he wrote an article about it a few years ago and had some clients, kept them anonymous, of course, that had taken up the practice in a big way. And essentially they took their water use efficiency, just using our equation, from 12 kilos a millimetre to about 17, Jess. And so essentially they're growing nearly 1.5 times as much grain over a period of time with the same sort of costs and inputs and rainfall. So, you know, you calculate that out over a few thousand hectares and see what number you come up with. You come up with some big numbers. It can be very profitable. So we're pretty lucky in terms of, you know, I'm talking about farms there that have this yellow sand. It's compacted at depth. It's non-wetting. It's acidic. You use a ripper. We call it the lime flip and rip lime sand. Flip it with a plough or a spader and then deep rip it. And that's the package. And, yeah, big benefits. I could talk for days, as you can probably tell.
Yeah, no, it sounds amazing. And there are some articles that Cindy Benjamin has put together with your input that I'll link as well with the podcast notes if people would like to read about it as well. But Stephen Davies, who we'll hear from next, does give a really good overview of the different approaches you can take with soil amelioration. So shall we take a listen?
Yeah.
Around 15 million hectares of Australian cropping land could potentially benefit from renovating of non-wetting sands. Soil renovation can lead to increases in clay content in the topsoil through deep ripping, mouldboard ploughing, spading or plaza ploughing, improvements in pH and, of course, the burial of weed seeds. And one of the big benefits is a potential increase in farm profitability. So in this interview, we're chatting with WA Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development Research Scientist Dr. Stephen Davies about what soil amelioration involves and the benefits of this approach. So Dr. Stephen Davies does join us now. How are you going, Stephen?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you so much for joining us. And before we launch into this interview, can you just tell us a little bit about your current GRDC projects that you're managing around soil amelioration in your role with DPIRD?
Sure, Jess. Yeah, look, there's a couple of projects currently working on. So one is basically looking to further extend and expand on the benefits of some of these soil amelioration techniques. So in that one, we're looking at how we best implement soil amelioration practices to sort of get the best benefit and the longest sort of benefit. We're looking at trying to apply soil amelioration practices over a broader range of soils, like are there other soils out there that we haven't really done a lot of work on that we can sort of get some improvements through soil amelioration of those soil types. And then we're also looking at, well, what if we ameliorate profiles even deeper than we currently do it? So we're typically working in the top sort of 35 to 40 centimetres of the soil profile, but what if we sort of doubled that? You know, what would that mean in terms of, you know, crop production and crop performance? And then the other project we're looking at is, well, once you've done soil amelioration, what are some of the ways of managing that process and managing the paddock after amelioration that sort of allows you to sort of maintain the benefits and to control things like biotic constraints, say soil-borne diseases or pests, you know, still working a little bit in the weed space in that as well, and just looking at, you know, the importance of rotations and other good agronomy once you've actually ameliorated the soil.
Very exciting. Sounds like you're quite busy, Stephen. Now, we are going to talk about the benefits of soil amelioration, as we said in the intro there. But for those who might not know exactly what it is, can you just give us a bit of an overview of what it entails?
Yeah, sure. Well, in a Western Australian context, when we talk about soil amelioration, we're basically always referring to growers using some form of strategic deep tillage. So just a one-off strategic deep tillage practice that actually allows you to sort of use that to overcome a number of constraints But in addition to that deep tillage, you know, we more often than not we're adding soil amendments, which could be things like lime or clay or gypsum. Again, trying to overcome some of the chemical barriers or some of the soil characteristics that and improve some of the soil characteristics, really. So it's a combination of this strategic deep tillage with soil amendments, but it is, yeah, often just a one-off thing just to try and overcome a whole bunch of soil constraints.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what is the ideal system for incorporating soil amelioration into your tools? Can you give us a bit of a picture of what that system might look like?
Yeah, so soil amelioration, it's a really valuable sort of practice we've found, but it's very time consuming, labour intensive and quite expensive. So it is critical that, you know, amelioration is done in a context that sort of maximises the benefit and the longevity of the benefit. So a lot of that's to do with making sure that when you're going into the amelioration process, you know, if you needed to apply lime, you've applied lime, that you've, you know, got, it really is ideal to have a controlled traffic sort of system, because, you know, through this deep tillage, you end up loosening the soil, removing a lot of compaction, and you certainly want to minimise how much you then recompact that soil once you've gone to this effort and this expense. And then it's really important that growers spend a lot of time, I guess, making sure that the paddock is levelled and any stumps or rocks are cleared afterwards, after the amelioration thing, and after the amelioration's been completed. And this way, you know, you can have everything kind of done well beforehand, take care with the process of amelioration, and then, you know, with a controlled traffic system, really sort of maximise the benefits afterwards. But yeah, that's certainly, you know, having the paddock level and tidy afterwards is really, you know, a lot of growers have found that to be really important.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And Stephen, we did mention in the intro some of those key benefits of actually going ahead and using this approach. Let's firstly talk about the weed control benefits. Can you tell us how effective weed seed burial is with this approach?
Yeah, look, weed seed burial can be really effective, like it can really give considerable weed control. But it does depend on the type of tillage implement used in the amelioration. So something like what we call the inversion sort of implements, the inversion ploughs, things like mouldboard ploughs, what's called plosa ploughs, so deep working one-way disc ploughs and square ploughs, they typically bury 80 to 95% of the topsoil, and so they essentially bury 80 to 95% of the weed seeds. Something like a rotary spader, which does a combination of some burial and some mixing, but leaves a little bit more topsoil in the surface, they'll typically bury 60 to 70% of the weed seeds, whereas something like a deep rippers typically don't bury very much. Deep rippers do bury a bit, but really they'd typically be burying much less than 10% of the weed seeds that are present at the surface. And in fact, deep rippers are known to sort of stimulate grasses to grow, and so it can actually make them a bit more difficult to control. And there's also an interaction there with weed type. So it's not my area of specialty necessarily, but things like ryegrass and radish, we seem to be able to bury fairly easily and get really sort of good control. We sort of see really effective control. Whereas something like brome grass, and I've even seen it with capeweed, you know, they don't tend to bury as easily. They tend to sort of, possibly we think what's happening is they're sort of riding on the wave of the soil and not actually sort of getting turned in as easily. They sort of stay nearer the surface. And something like brome can come up from depth. So it does vary a little bit also with weed type, and there's more work going on with that.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful to know. And you did mention earlier that this tends to be a one-off technique that growers will use. You've sort of mentioned what's most effective out of the different approaches that you can use to do soil amelioration. But what are the sort of long-term outcomes of this? Like, do people ever have to do it again, or is it something that they just literally will do one time, or is it something you would do every 20 years? Could you give us a bit of a picture of what
that's a really good question. What we've sort of found to date is that with things like the soil inversion in particular, and to an extent the rotary spading, we've tended to find that we don't need to repeat those very often at all. So in some experiments we've gone up to 14 years now, and we haven't really got any reason to sort of redo that type of soil amelioration. We do tend to find with deep ripping that that can be done a little bit more regularly because we still seem to see benefits from that deeper loosening of the soil. But bearing in mind, we're sort of trying to avoid any turning over of the soil there. We're trying to leave the weed seeds and the former topsoil sort of buried in that circumstance. We're just trying to deal with compaction on a semi-regular basis. But yeah, with those other techniques, we haven't seen a lot of reason to redo them. We are testing that a little bit in some of our current experimentation, just looking at what happens if you do go back and redo some of these things. But at the moment, there's really no evidence that we can't last at least 10 years or more before even having to worry about redoing certainly the soil inversion or the deep soil mixing at all.
I'm sure a lot of growers are really happy to hear that because it does sound like quite a process.
Yeah.
So we mentioned in the intro as well that there is obviously other benefits to this approach, including potential increases in farm profitability and improvements in pH. Could you talk a bit to those points and benefits, Stephen?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so we have found, I guess in WA, you know, subsoil acidity has become an increasingly recognised and increasingly difficult sort of problem. And while surface liming, you know, if done well over a long period, can help prevent that, in a lot of cases we've already got the subsoil acidity there. So this soil amelioration process does give us an opportunity to put lime directly into the subsoil and more effectively and more quickly, correct the subsoil acidity problem. And what we've tended to sort of see, and I guess really what growers and consultants working with growers have found, is that if we sort of take this combination of things where we're dealing with topsoil water repellents through the amelioration, but we're also correcting the subsoil acidity, and then we're also sort of removing the compaction. If we can get this combination of things right and then match that up with really good agronomy practices, people are seeing really substantial benefits. So we often see yield responses of at least half a tonne or more, increases in yield, often more in the early years, but settling down to sort of half a tonne or even a bit more over time in some of our research work. And in one experiment where we've sort of got a combination of soil inversion with lime, you know, we've seen benefits lasting up to 14 years. So just a one-off thing done 14 years ago, and yet even last year, you know, it was still showing a 400 to 500 kilo yield benefit in wheat.
That's
to that
amazing.
Practice that was done 14 years ago. So we are seeing this really nice, thing of where if you do deal with these multiple constraints and then you actually have good practices after that, you can get some, you know, really good ongoing benefits, which is exciting. It's exciting for us too. Yeah,
very cool. But obviously important to consider the whole system that farmers are dealing with. What do growers need to consider when using this approach with herbicides?
Yeah, so look, herbicides, it's really interesting because, you know, we often think about weed seed burial as being the main benefit of soil amelioration in terms of controlling weeds. But what we also find is that because we actually change the properties of the soil surface, we actually reduce the organic matter, which sort of gets buried as often as part of the soil amelioration process, and we can change the clay content of that soil. It actually changes the effectiveness of the herbicide. So we find that the soil active herbicides often become a lot more effective. The actual active ingredients are working more to their full potential, if you like. So that means that they're actually very effective on weeds, but we also can get crop damage. So growers do need to sort of consider, well, you know, which herbicides are safer with which crop types that they might be growing after amelioration. And sometimes growers are finding they can move to rates, still label rates, but a bit lower on the rates on the label and still get very effective weed control and just minimise that risk of crop damage. I would sort of generally say that probably the benefit we're getting in weed control is greater than any sort of problem we're having with crop damage. It's just in a few cases people have really struggled to, I guess, get good plant numbers because of the extent of the herbicide damage. But I guess we're learning more and more which products are safer to use so that we avoid some of those scenarios.
Definitely. No, that makes sense. Stephen, you've explained that there is a benefit for for herbicide efficacy with using soil amelioration, and weeds are buried using this technique. And so these weed control benefits are really clear through the research. Are there any other benefits that you're seeing with this approach?
Yeah, I think the other really important one, which I guess can sometimes, again, get a little bit overlooked, Jess, is that soil amelioration generally really does improve crop growth and vigour. And on water-repellent soils, you know, one of the big reasons for doing it is to improve crop establishment. So we actually end up with these really competitive crops. And we actually sort of measure our crop canopies and things, and we can see that we often get much faster and much greater canopy closure with crops grown on ameliorated soils. And so they become really effective at competing with the weeds. And I think this is actually, you know, really quite an important factor in, I guess, in the weed control aspect as well. It's sort of this combination of things that come together to give a really good opportunity to maintain good weed control.
And so what should growers do to keep weed numbers low after they implement soil amelioration? Are there any tips around that, Stephen?
Yeah, well, I think the important thing to realise is even if you're sort of using the best of the inversion ploughs and you might be getting 90 or 95% weed seed burial, that other 5% of weeds and the genetics that they contain is still within the paddock. So this is really, soil amelioration is really about getting the weed seed numbers low and getting a really good opportunity to keep them low. But the process of keeping them low is, you know, still having a really good integrated weed management program, which includes some form of harvest weed seed control. So, yeah, the weeds, there's still some weeds there and they will sort of proliferate and just build up again fairly quickly, we've found, if people don't sort of maintain good integrated weed management practices. And look, weeds can even come from, you know, neighbouring paddocks and fence lines and things. So, yeah, you're never totally free of them, unfortunately.
The war continues.
They'll still be there. and so, yeah, but soil amelioration is, you know, a tool which, when done well with the right sort of approaches, can get those weed numbers really low, which gives you a really good opportunity to keep them low.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And yes, like you said, it's important to have that broad approach where you're not just using one technique. So obviously the WeedSmart Big Six is a great area to start if you want to review the different approaches that might suit your farming system. So definitely encourage you to head over to the WeedSmart website and review those and see if there's anything that might fit for your system. But Stephen, thank you so much for this amazing overview of soil amelioration and the benefits. You've really given us a great perspective on what's currently happening research-wise in this area and how it applies to growers today. So thank you so much.
No worries, Jess. Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Dr. Stephen Davies there for giving that really great overview of soil amelioration and the benefits. Pete, one of the points that Steve made in that interview is while it is a big job to do, you really only have to do it once. And so you do this big job once and then you can really reap the benefits long term. Can you just talk to that point a bit about some of those long term benefits you get?
Yeah, Jess, when we started all of this, you know, people said, we don't want to be tilling the soil and so on, which is, you know, natural response. And we said, no, you're just going to do it once and then come back in maybe 10 years' time and just use no-till farming in between. And since then, you know, it's 14 years, as I said, since that first trial went in, there is absolutely no need to go back in there. So some farmers are sort of saying, look, it might just be once in our lifetime. Others say, you know, it could be in 20 or 30 years. But the point being that the effects are lasting a long, long time. So while it is cultivation and it goes away from our no-till practices, it is that one-off inversion and then back to no-till. And then when we go back to no-till, because we've increased our yields and our productivity, we're growing more biomass than ever, you know, the soils are in better shape than ever. And so, yeah, it's just amazingly long benefits just from these one-off things. And that's a good thing because they're expensive and they are slow and it's a big job. Like, you can't underestimate what a big job it is. The farmers are out there for months going 5Ks an hour with a machine on the back.
Yeah.
It can drive you mad. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like an intense job to do. Up next, we're going to be hearing from Darren Haywoods. He's a farmer from Lamaroo in the South Australian Mallee. And there are a few different approaches you can take with the soil amelioration. His is probably a little bit different to the approach that many WA growers probably use. So he is spading heteros, and his main focus for doing this was originally to build up organic carbon levels in the soil for improved soil health and water holding capacity. And he had this rhizoctonia issue that was really severe, and so that was a big part of doing this. He really wanted to overcome that, and then the weed seed burial was just part of that process, as we'll hear in the interview. But he really got onto this because he was part of this spading heteros project, which was led by Chris Donoghue. And so he actually ended up getting really good benefits, which we'll hear from him in the interview. But, you know, obviously different farming systems call for different approaches. Pete, how do farmers distinguish what might be the best approach in terms of what technique they use for soil amelioration in their farming system?
Oh, there's plenty of field days they can go to and so on, Jess. And I always just say to them, just get a small machine or hire one or get a contractor and just do a strip. You'll work it out very soon. And as Darren says in this interview, he's got very variable soil types. And so for him, I'm guessing he sort of had to do a bit and then have a look and see how it responded in the different soil types and then work out where to focus his efforts. And that is just a great approach. Just trial it over your soil, your farming system, and the results will speak for themselves.
All right, let's take a listen to Darren Haywoods. We're chatting with Darren Haywoods. He's from Lamaroo in the South Australian Mallee, and he was involved in a project called Spading Heteros for Grassy Weed Control, Improved Crop Yields and Better Soil Protection, and has been continuing to adopt the practice of using soil amelioration for both soil improvement and weed control benefits. We're going to chat to him about his experience. He does join us now. How are you going, Darren?
Hi, I'm well, thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, before we get into the details around soil amelioration, can you just give us an overview of your farming system, Darren?
Yes, my farming system is a cropping and grazing system, and I've been involved in direct drilling since 1997 using an Ausplough DBS bar, and grazing is just with sheep, so yes.
Yeah, excellent. So, Darren, what soil types do you have at your place?
My soil types vary dramatically in a short distance, from deep sand to sandy flats. I have lime and heavy gram, like as clay flats.
We were having a bit of a chat before, and you've got different constraints with those different soil types. Let's firstly talk about clay flat soils. What constraints do you have with those?
Okay, my clay flats are slightly acidic at the surface and strongly alkaline at depth. I have boron issues and also sodic issues.
So you've got, with the clay flat soils, you've got sodic issues, they can get waterlogged. That's sort of the major constraints?
Yes, that's the main constraint. And when it does dry, it can create quite a crust on the top, so it makes it difficult for plants to emerge and progress.
Right, okay. And you've got sandy soils on your property as well. What are some of the constraints you have with those soil types?
So the sandy soils can be quite non-wetting. It generally has a low water holding capacity, therefore, you know, low organic matter. It can be leaching, and it's slightly acidic to neutral, sort of in that range.
So you've come up with this idea of spading heteros. How did you come up with that idea, Darren?
So I came up with the idea of spading heteros from a sandy soils project I was involved in with the Lamaroo Ag Bureau, and using a spader to incorporate bales of silage and seeing massive results.
Okay. So what was the intention of spading the heteros? What did you want to achieve by doing that?
So the years leading up to purchasing a spader, there was a increased level of rhizoctonia, and there was taken out some areas up to a quarter of the crop out. And my dad said to me, he said, it costs you the same amount to grow that crop as it does that crop. And so from then on, we deemed something else needs to happen. And so from the trial work done with the Ag Bureau, and knowing what a spade could do, thoughts just come together to spade in the heteros.
Right.
So the primary idea was to overcome the rhizoctonia and in building up the organic carbon levels and spading it into depth, so you're getting a lot more root growth from lower down.
Yeah. You mentioned that the approach of spading heteros does enable plants to get their roots deeper into the ground. What are some of the benefits you see from plants that have this advantage of getting their roots deeper in the ground?
Well, it basically helps the plant to carry on through the drier periods that you might be facing through the year. And by stimulating that root growth, and it can hold that growth it has on top to support itself through those drier periods.
Yeah, right. Makes sense. Very cool. So, Jarrodin, why do you spade your heteros?
I spade the heteros for erosion control and trafficability. So being able to pull a heavy bar across the paddocks with no issues of the soft sand issue.
And Jarrodin, you were involved in a project that looked specifically at spading heteros. What were some of the key takeaways that came from that project for you?
Key learning points I learned from the trial was, firstly, incorporating biomass can tie up a lot of nitrogen, so therefore you need to apply a lot of nitrogen to overcome that issue. And secondly, high rates of fertiliser incorporated, building up nutrition, created the best results from the added competition of the crop over the ryegrass or the weeds.
And so what benefits did you see in terms of weed seed burial with spading heteros?
So the spader incorporates around about 70% to 80% of the weed seed. So it doesn't incorporate everything. So there's still that percentage that comes up.
Yeah. So you're burying 70, 80% of the weed seeds. So over time, have you seen a reduction in the amount of weeds that are coming up after using this approach?
Well, due to the increased nutrition of the soil, the crop each year tends to be a lot better than where it hasn't been done. So therefore, the competition's there and the weeds are dramatically reduced.
Yeah, that's excellent. So you're seeing a definite improvement in crop competition in areas where you have spaded the heteros then?
Oh, yeah, sure are.
And so have you changed your approach to weed control then? Have you needed to use less chemicals, for example, or have you made adjustments to how you approach your weed control program after using this approach of spading heteros?
So my approach to using chemicals and to spading heteros, I usually try to have the heteros spaded in by the first week of April. And all pre-emergent chemical is placed after the treatment. So there is no chemical incorporation with using the spader method.
We were chatting before, Jarrodin, and you were talking about how you see the positive effects of the spading of heteros years after you've done it. How long do you see the benefits of this technique after you spade the heteros?
Yes, Jess. We purchased the spader in 2016, and still today, each year I still see those rows where it was originally done. So the years are still ticking by with the results.
That's excellent. So it sounds like it was well worth your while investing in it then. So what's your approach to spading then? What timeline would you do it on? Do you do different sections each year, or how do you go about using the spader?
Yeah, so the idea was to each year you harvest your crop and you just move over the 4 metres. So the spader is 4.5 metres wide, and my header front is 36 feet, so roughly 11 metres. And so, yeah, the 12 feet can easily cover the whole paddock after 3 years. So each year I try to move the header over and incorporate the next year's biomass or the, the crops doubles.
Yeah, so you're getting the double benefit then. Obviously, like you mentioned earlier, you're getting that benefit from the nutrition going back into the soil, and then you're also burying the weed seeds. And so it's a really, yeah, it's that double positive effect of not all the weed seeds are getting buried, but a lot of them are, 70-80%, and then you're getting the nutrition, which is increasing your crop competition too. So that sounds really positive, Darren.
Yeah, so after 3 years, your whole paddock is basically covered with the spider, and then the next year you start again. You'll start the next generation of incorporating that biomass.
Okay, that makes sense. Very cool. So, why should people consider spading their heteros based on your experience, Darren?
I'm still learning. So, my advice is that know how much biomass you're incorporating to overcome the nitrogen tie-up, because you'll definitely see it the next year if you don't apply high rates of nitrogen where you are incorporating the heteros. Secondly, obviously it doesn't bury all the weed seeds, but with the increased nutrition, it's definitely, you'll see the results for years after. So my advice, this is an expensive machine to do, and it's not a quick job, it's quite a slow job. My speeds are around 4 kilometres an hour, sometimes 3 kilometres an hour, depending on the amount of organic matter you're trying to turn in, your speed. But if you're going too fast, you're not really doing a real good job, you're not burying all the weed seeds. If you're going too slow, then your cost per hectare increase. So you've got to find a happy balance of where it's economical, plus you're getting good results.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. So, yeah, obviously very much up to the individual and their farming system, but for you it definitely has paid off so far, and, yeah, that's really great to hear, Darren.
I have had a couple of years where spading heavy flats with a lot of clay being brought to the surface where I've actually had a reduction in yield. But the following year I did it again, and the clay's all quite crumbly. It's very friable, and then you do it again, and the next year the crop's, it's twice the crop as it was the year before. And so it does seem to settle, the soil constraints seem to settle down, and it all seems to get going. I noticed this first after probably about the third year with the spader and that technique.
It does sound like quite a bit of patience and a trust in the process is needed if you're going to tackle spading your heteros, Darren.
It all didn't go totally to plan in the beginning, but you do learn along the way, and each year I must say I have a trial of some sort, and I'm pretty sure every farmer out there has some sort of trial on their farm, and sometimes you learn just from something you might have done, not intentionally, but you seem to learn a lot about what you're doing each year, and each year is not the same. So you just got to find that balance to get a result that your land can find. And my additional point, if you have increased nutrition and then you have a dry finish to the year, the crop is going really well at the beginning when it's getting those rains, but if it gets to the end and it dries off, it's got so much more biomass to try to finish the crop off. And in the trials results that we had with Chris McDonough, we had a couple of years there that were hard going, and the results weren't exactly true because the biomass is there, but the yields weren't there. So, you know, that was just a weather-depending result, really, where if it rained, we could have had a lot better result.
Yeah, okay.
So the real trick is to find the balance of what your area can handle. So you don't want to go over the top and try to get the massive yields straight up, because it could end up working against you.
Yeah, good advice, sage advice, Darren. And well, thank you so much for giving us an overview of your experience with spading heteros. It sounds like it's well worth the effort, but yeah, definitely patience and trust in the system are on the ticket, I think. So definitely thank you so much for that overview. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you very much to Darren Haywoods, a grower from Lamoureux in the South Australian Mallee, talking about his experience with spading heteros. And Pete, weed seed burial, that was just one of the benefits of the spading of heteros for Darren. It wasn't originally the main reason why he took up this technique, but obviously a really great benefit, especially with Weed Smart. We like to definitely focus on the benefits of weed control. What are some of the broader benefits benefits, I guess, of burying weed seeds with these kind of soil amelioration techniques, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, I was quite surprised to hear just how high a level of control Darrington said he got. And Steve Davies also mentioned something like 70% burial with the spader. I was quite surprised to hear that it's that good. And whenever you can smash a seed bank in a short space of time, it's fantastic. I mean, the mouldboard plough can achieve 99% seed burial and leave it down there to rot for years. So, yeah, just that very quick sort of game over, start again in a weed blowout paddock, Jess, if you can get those numbers down. But the other big part of it as well is once you fix that non-wetting and renovate the soil, the herbicides work a whole lot better. Sometimes they work too well. You've got to watch which herbicide you use immediately after amelioration. But, yeah, the herbicides start working really well. So the double benefit, you bury some weeds and then you get, like he said, great crop competition and better herbicide efficacy. So it all works together to get on top of a weed problem.
Yeah, for sure. And so with mouldboard ploughing having the most benefit in terms of weed control, are there any drawbacks of choosing mouldboard ploughing over other soil amelioration approaches?
Sort of suits different soil types a bit, Jess. Yeah, farmers are pretty expert at choosing the right tool for them. The mouldboard, it's harder to seed the paddock afterwards. That's one of the big drawbacks. It makes it very soft and you've got to either have a special seeder or you've got to give it a bit of a roll to sort of compress the topsoil and then go seeding again. And then some soil types are not very well suited to. I know when Sally Peltzer and Alex Douglas first bought their little three furrow plough, they did a paddock down at Katanning. They turned it into a car park, Jess. They brought up some sodic soil and nothing grew there. And I think Darrington said he had a similar experience on some sodic stuff, and then he spaded it again. That's what they did. They went and remouldboarded it and put the sodic stuff back down. So you've got to watch which soil type you take to these things, and that's where I said doing some trial strips across variable soils is a good idea. But, yeah, different farmers have different reasons for choosing the tool that suits them, and sometimes soil variability is a big part of that.
Yeah, and obviously with burying these weed seeds, it would have a really big impact on the amount of weeds coming up. Can you just talk a little bit to some of those broader benefits of burying those weed seeds and the positive outcomes from that?
Yeah, I mean, we're just burying weed seeds, and particularly the grasses. After 3 or 4 years, anything that you've left down there for a few years is generally, it will rot, and that'll be the end of it. Weeds like wild radish are a different story. They can last longer when buried deep, and so you don't want to bring them back up. And so there is some studies showing that they can last 10 years of depth. Not all of them, but just a few more weeds will last a longer period of time when they're at depth. When they're at depth, there's less organic matter, there's less, biological breakdown of the weed seeds and lots of other things going on with darkness and temperature and so on. And so, some weeds can last a bit longer. So the trick is if you put them down there, you want to leave them down there. You don't want to dig them up with anything in a hurry. But, yeah, just in general, Jess, I mean, just seen some paddocks in this part of the world anyway where they're big weed problems and then they flip them and then just start growing amazing crops that are very clean for many, many years on end. So, yeah, it can be a very quick fix to a number of problems.
That's exciting. That's very good advice as well, Pete. So definitely one to consider if it's not something you've considered before. And, yeah, lots of options there. And, yeah, like you said, Pete, really variable, depends on your soil types. And doing that strip to test whether it's going to work for you or not is very important, obviously. We don't want anyone having a car park situation like Sally. But, yeah, it sounds really positive. So, yeah, thanks for giving that overview as well. Did you have any other tips that you wanted to share about this technique, Pete? We've kind of covered it, haven't we?
We have. I mean, it really comes down to working with your agronomist and the scientist to have a look at what constraints you've got and then which is the best tool to fix them. And, you know, some are easier to fix than others, Jess. We've actually probably got it pretty easy here, having acid compacted yellow sand that's, even though that can get nasty, you know, all of those things are fixable, whereas some of the sodic and boron toxic and so on, I'm a bit out of my depth there, Jess. But, yeah, just getting to know what constraint you've got, work with the scientists and agronomists to choose some tools and then give them a trial. We learn our best lessons by experience, Jess, and doing trial strips in the paddock, which every farmer does, is, you know, is a great way to go with soil amelioration.
Definitely. Well, thank you again to our guests for our first episode back for 2021. Thanks to Dr. Stephen Davies and South Australian farmer Darren Haywoods. We really appreciate them giving their perspective. I'll put a few photos up that Darren has shared with me as well of the results from his farm doing the spading of heteros too. So definitely check out the podcast notes on the website. And just to further note, we are officially welcoming Yana Dixon to the Weed Smart team of Extension Agronomist. She'll be focusing on applying the Big Six to manage weeds in the high rainfall cropping systems of southern Australia, so from Esperance in Western Australia to southeastern South Australia, Tasmania, and southwestern Victoria. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and sign up for our monthly blog, The Weed Smart Whip Around. We had our first one go out this week as well. That'll make sure you never miss any of our new content. But yeah, talking about new content, Pete, our content producer, Cindy Benjamin, she's been very busy over the Christmas period. She didn't take much of a break. So there is quite a lot of new content on the WeedSmart website to check out, including an article on weaponizing sorghum crops to take out feathertop rows and ornless barnyard grass, and also running down the summer grass seed bank in mung beans. So I'll provide the links for those new articles with the podcast notes too for you to check out. Our regional update is also back. This week we spoke with Chris Tui from Albury in New South Wales, and next Monday we'll be speaking with Plan Farm agronomist Nick McKenna, who is based in Geraldton. And so make sure you check those out. So lastly, thanks for joining us on the Weed Smart podcast this week. Make sure you tell your friends about it. Pete, thank you so much for being my co-host again for 2021. We look forward to bringing everyone more content over the year, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Jess. Yeah, looking forward to lots more of these in 2021. Hopefully things improve for you and people in Perth and Australia in general.
It can only go up. Positive times ahead. Fingers crossed. We'll see you next time, everyone.